Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. You are tuning in to our coverage of Sci-Fi's Wynonna Earp. Today, we are covering the mid-season finale, two-parter, Holy War Part 1 and Holy War Part 2. For those of you who don't know, these episodes were literally shot as the world shut down in March 2020 due to the coronavirus, if you've ever heard of it. So this truly is an accidental and epic mid-season finale. I'm sure this is going to get heated. But before we jump into the episode, I just want to shout out Late Night at the Homestead podcast. Sam, Tay, and Rach had me on to talk about Wynonna Earp, and it was so fun, and my heart's so full. Everyone go check them out. They're great people. I had a blast. Definitely a friend of the pod. But all right, boys, let's hear it. Initial reactions.
Quick question, though, is that is spoiler filled, though. Yeah. So for anybody listening for the first time, do not listen to Kathleen's podcast you just bumped yet.
Yes.
Unless meaning, you've seen it all.
Meaning these three rookies right here.
We cannot listen to it. That so is they cannot hear me shit talking them on that pod yet.
Ooh.
Just kidding. Love you guys so much.
All right, but I'll start.
Okay.
Because you did definitely sell us these two episodes to us as a two-parter, and it was totally that. It just felt like one continuous episode with a mini little, you know, break of I almost tried to sing the song, but I don't even know how it starts.
I told yeah. the devil. Yes.
No, but this one was good. There was some cleanup with some of our problems with like where the Clantons have been and why they wouldn't have popped up. Like we already talked about a pre-podcast. I love the Doc line talking about what's going on with them and why we haven't seen them yet. So I don't know how thought of these guys were from the beginning, but I think it was a good completion. I don't know if we're completely done with them, right? Because
no. Yeah. I'm saying Cleo is going to be the big yeah,
exactly because of Cleo. Yeah. Cleo still being alive, right? But yeah, overall, super good Nicole stuff here. We finally free her. We're not going to waste a lot of time having her like in a possessed mode, so that's good. And then the ritual was just wild, like,
yeah,
just so crazy. Couldn't have expected that.
Nedley the goat.
I just want to jump in and say I have never once skipped the intro.
Never.
I love
is that amazing?
So I mean, good. I know that it's quick, but I love it.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't realize this was like a two-part episode thing until you just said that right there. So that makes a lot of sense.
You guys listen to me. I said it on the last one.
Yeah, no, I was, I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah, it's okay. I forgive you already.
It started off really hot with the comedy, man. Wynonna doing the whole scissoring thing.
Scissoring thing was so funny.
After like, Nicole wakes up and the house on fire and Waverly's sleeping or like passed out or whatever, and then they get out onto the front of the homestead and Wynonna's like, were you guys like on the couch? And she's like doing like the scissor with her hand
motions.
That's
why they make lube.
They make lube. It's like, no, it's not.
Well, it was also funny that they came up with two reasons why the fire might have started. That was one, and the other one was Rachel getting in a TikTok trance while cooking.
Yeah,
honestly, crazy to think that TikTok was so big like back then. I've only been on TikTok
head.
For a little bit.
So fast. Yeah,
I thought about it too. I was like, TikTok.
I think that might be the first time I've heard it referenced in a TV show.
Yeah, and this was shot in March of 2020. So,
Everyone was making sourdough bread in March 2020.
Exactly,
they were, man.
Agreed.
Also, shout out Rosita making a freaking appearance. Holy shit, that came out of nowhere. Yeah,
I do remember telling you guys that we do get a little more Rosita, and I love the Clanton thing. I think that really ties her up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
I was happy for that. And again, it's like, who knows if they had that in mind, but I love that that's how they wrote it. I think that, and we'll get to it at the very end, that port scene with Doc and Wynonna is one of my favorites. I think
you
it's,
like port scenes with them.
I love them. Really good acting. I mean, just devastating. They fucking hate each other right there. I mean, not really Wynonna. Doc is looking at her like with absolutely no respect.
Yeah.
No respect. But before
I got problems with, but we'll talk about
that.
Yes,
that'll be a later thing, but I will say, like, Kat Burrell, MVP. I think she's so good in this episode, but everyone was. Jeremy was really great in these episodes. He's really funny. I think the comedy was really on these episodes.
My biggest complaint was, what the hell the idea? Like, when Jeremy, okay, so they do the whole ritual with Nicole to kill her, and like, Jeremy just whips out of nowhere, astral projection. That's what happens when some people die sometimes. And Nicole's a ghost with power. That's the only thing I was like,
let me
watch that Magicians episode. Be the penny.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You fucking Magicians now.
We cover the Magicians, but let me just say, another show we cover, I automatically thought of Raven in The 100 when she goes into the water.
Oh, me too.
To,
like, I literally have
herself.
That wrote down.
Yeah. I automatically thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of The 100, we want to give a shout to Go Float Yourself Pod, our good friends covering The 100. Check this promo out, guys. You want to check this podcast out if you're a fan of The 100. They're great. They're covering it episode by episode. So go float yourself. Check it out.
I agree. They're very funny. Me and Luke went on the pod. We love them.
Welcome to Go Float Yourself, a podcast about the television show The 100.
We're a brother-sister team here to celebrate the good and roast the bad on one of our favorite sci-fi teen space dramas.
Come for the story and the drama, stay for the funny nicknames, the pet conclaves on our Instagram, and of course, the hauntings.
Oh yeah, did I mention I'm a literal ghost haunting the pod? That's canon.
Find us at Go Float Yourself on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I love when you have to kill yourself to end a curse. If what did we just cover? What did we just cover that did that? Something recently, and I'm like, oh, I fucking love it.
When Winona dies, yeah. The Revenants.
All right, so let's just go back to the beginning. We start with the fake winter wedding.
Love this scene.
Yeah, everyone's bleeding. Everyone looks hot, and it's negative degrees out. Winona's in zero clothes.
Yep.
It is in Alberta winter. Like, shout out. They just suffer for the shot. But yeah, we find out later that it's Nicole that burns down the homestead. Did you guys guess that it was going to be Nicole causing trouble?
No. Mostly because I was so distracted by Waverly just being dead asleep, just yeah. being that dead weight that she was just fireman carrying through the house.
Yeah.
I just thought that just was making me laugh. So
I wasn't positive, but I assumed we were going with the possessed thing. So I was like, maybe.
Jimmy always lies.
I agree.
Yeah.
Jimmy always watches the episode and then he's always like three episodes ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, just I knew kidding. Right away that Winona was going to shoot him in the back, dude. I just knew it.
So, yeah, that was a really great scene. I think even Rachel was being that funny. I love when she's like, so you memorize all of our footprints. And he's like, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love when he's like, what in tarnation? He just yeah. tells it for me.
Well, I also like that when Winona wakes up in that like hot like lingerie outfit.
Yeah.
And he's in the room and she's like, do you need to sleep? And he's like, nope. Part of the condition. I was like, that's a good little tidbit because I like that.
And we said last season's coverage, we're like, how long will he be a vamp? Well, he's mm-hmm. halfway through the last season, he's still a vamp.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's forever, but I'm happy that they address it. And Winona, that felt like a audience line right there.
Yeah.
Where she says, like, we don't even talk about this anymore.
Yeah.
So it's cool to just to bring it back up and get a little bit more clarity on it.
And it was cool. I mean, I think this is really the only other vamp situation we had in the episode was when who is it? Waverly gets cut and he kind of just the fangs come out for a second.
That's Winona.
Oh, Winona.
That's
yeah.
like my favorite
oh,
scene.
Oh, it's when, yeah, it's when yeah. Nicole.
That is just yeah. my favorite scene of the two episodes. Yeah. I think I watched it like three or four times.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah, just, yeah. When she attacks
the Winona. Look on his face, he's like a little like scared dog kind of. It's just so fucking funny. The little like low guttural growl he lets out is just so good. His face crunches up a little bit. I love it.
Speaking of funny doc moments, when Winona calls Eamon like Don Corleone and he's like, yeah. I've never seen Eamon's. I've never. Like,
yeah.
Like, it goes back to that like flirting from last episode.
Yeah.
Amazing. So good. Okay. Here's the thing. Did you guys get that Jeremy was trying to act like dolls when he was kicking Cleo?
Yeah.
And them out. He was in the aviators in the like bomber jacket.
No, yeah. I wasn't picking up on that. That's
I actually
awesome.
I didn't know. Now that you say it, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, he's like trying to act tough
yeah.
and kicking them out, but you could tell he's like channeling something and yeah. it's gotta be dolls in the outfit he's in.
Well, she takes the glasses off and he's like, ugh! Like he knows he needs to basically put them back on.
Well, one of my favorite, I guess, writing pieces of dialogue was the Jeremy and Nicole reunion because I'm so team Nicole when it comes to how Jeremy was through the time skip and they write it off and they play it off and they're together by the end, like making up whatever. But I'm totally on team Nicole, how he just kind of sandbagged her.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really necessarily love Jeremy that much in the original episode he came back with, which was like two or three ago when he was being weird with Winona.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, like you were just, I get it, but like you have to kind of go under the radar with Black Badge, but like, Jesus, man, he just kind of sandbagged everybody.
I thought he had a good comeback when he said, like, my phone was being recorded. That's why I didn't call you. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just because we love them. We don't want any sandbagging.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been there for Nicole.
Yeah, I would have been there for her too. Kathleen, would you have been?
Oh, I would have been there for Nicole.
Yeah. I want to figure out a way to take care of the fish commander and go after Nicole, save her.
On the late night of at the Homestead podcast, they asked me, they're like, they listen, they're like, you seemed like such a Waverly girl for so long. And then in season 4, you flipped the script. So like, how did she sneak up on you? How? Mm-hmm. Like, and I was like, I don't know. It's just like, they gave Nicole so much better content in season four.
Yeah.
And I always loved her. I just didn't think they gave her enough to be beat out Waverly for me. At least.
I still don't think she beats Waverly, but I think she's up there.
She's really settled into a nice role, though, in the squad.
Yeah.
I really like the role that she plays. I like the relationship she has with every other character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's really settled in with like a nice, like, friendly, almost like sisterly relationship with Winona.
Yeah.
Her and Nedley's great. Her and Doc don't really interact that much. But her and Jeremy, now that we have a little bit of drama, is funny because she just kind of feels like a scorned friend because Jeremy's also like Waverly's best friend. So they have that angle. So I just like the way Hot kind of interacts with almost every other character.
Mm-hmm. And did you guys take it like a reiteration that we probably aren't going to see Robin? Like it was another like he's safe. Yeah.
Exactly what we said. By name, it's fine. And that gives Jeremy an out for a happy ending regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
As long as he lives, you know, because he has Robin.
Yeah.
Flipping the script to Winona and her kind of arc this episode. These episodes are finding Peacemaker. So her and Doc go on this little heist mission. They have to steal a painting from a museum, and we get the Wyatt Earp flashback, a real Wyatt Earp flashback, which makes me go, did they have film in the 1800s?
I thought the same thing. I was like, what the fuck years this shit?
They didn't even have cars. They had film?
Well,
what
let me
hell?
Just say that Kathleen had something to say about Wyatt in our season two recording. And it's literally halfway through season four when we're getting some kind of revelation that maybe Wyatt might not be a great dude.
So if
that was so funny. She was like, yeah, he's like an asshole, right? And we all looked at each other like, what?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Okay, so for anyone who hasn't listened to the other ones, I made that comment and then I immediately didn't want to say it anymore. I wish I never said it. But then they were going, oh, she's talking about war. They thought I name flopped, so I went with that bit. But I really was talking about Wyatt. I mean, this is the first scene where Doc is talking kind of morals and saying any man that shoots another man in the back doesn't deserve to be known or remembered type deal. And Wyatt's basically accusing Doc of shooting first at the OK Corral, which Doc is like, what the fuck? No, I did not.
Yeah.
I mean, that if that's true that he didn't, that's the biggest cowardice of all.
Yeah.
Wyatt being like, my best friend's dead. I might as well just say it. Blame him anyway.
Yeah.
And then he said he was the most talented loose cannon I ever did see. I rolled Doc off of whatever whore he was enjoying at the time and pointed him in the direction of someone who needed to get got clean through.
Ah, that's a great quote.
It is a great quote, but
I don't, I feel like I still don't disagree with that's what he kind of is.
Yeah, I know. And especially all the flashbacks we've gotten of Doc, he's an asshole back
in
the day.
Yeah, why is he getting on butter? This is him. This is past.
Well, I think the only thing he's pissy about is the shooting first thing, because I think a lot of his stuff that's going to happen in the next couple episodes with Why Not Known as shooting in the back is going to be that Clantons aren't revenants and they exist as a mortal enemy to the Earp or to the, yeah, to the Earps, because Wyatt freaking shot and was a little biatch about it and ran and made Doc clean up the mess.
Right.
I also think it's definitely devastating to hear who you thought was your best friend kind of have those type of words to say about you. You know, there could have been a better way to say that.
Yeah.
It might be the actual truth, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like I would be a little upset, Luke, if there was a tape of you remembering me and saying something like that.
Especially if you're dead, too. Like,
Yeah.
Say it's my face.
Yeah, and I think that Doc's already been on a redemption journey for himself, and I think this really turned. I mean, you could see every conversation he has with Holt for the rest is like, man, this family feud that we've been having is not worth it. We're just going to damn the rest of our family for the rest of time, past, present, future, whatever, if we don't stop this now. And Winona's on the opposite journey, which, again, we'll get to. She really is. At the end of the next episode, when she gets Peacemaker again and she's like, that makes me a killer. Like, yeah, I'm a hero, but sometimes that makes me a fucking killer. And that's before she kills Holt. So it's like, that's kind of a cool speech. Like pre-Holt and then after Holt, it's like,
Holt is the best. Like,
I know.
He's such a good freaking character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, I feel like every decision that he made in the show was the opposite of what I would have thought. His dialogue was good. He was reacting to Doc in untropy ways, I would say. It's just, I thought he was fantastic. I mean, it sucks that Winona had to do it to him, because it could have been anybody else. And I would have been okay with it. But of course, like, she, you know, we're going to talk about the Winona flip later. But.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. And Kathleen, you might be the one to answer. I don't know. Ma'am had her powers, right? And she explained that if she died, it goes to the next heir, right?
Yeah.
So he got her powers, meaning the sheriff, when she was dead. And now that he's dead, it's going to be Cleo, right?
And what is the power that we think?
Like
is?
Her charms or whatever spells she can
Yeah,
do.
The spells.
Like
but...
the summoning of the...
Yeah, but they can all summon the Reaper.
Yeah, Cleo's done that
yeah.
already.
So, well, already... she's the only one. So she's the one who... Is she the only one who could do what was done to Haught? Or am I not allowed to know that? I thought she said she has some kind of power more than the kid.
She does it to Waverly. She says that to Waverly.
Because
that's
she says, too, when she walks into the kitchen, she's like, I'm making moves so that one of you little bastards doesn't take my magic when I, you know.
Right. And I think also in that scene, it's not necessarily Holt that gets it. I mean, in general tropey stuff that you would say, like the oldest gets the heir.
And that would be Cleo. Or?
But she says it keeps me up all night thinking about which one of you is going to get my powers when I die. Meaning that it might not be that the oldest gets it. It could have been any of the three. And of course, she's a dick. And she's like, it makes me ill with dread.
And either way, though, now we assume Cleo. Has.
I mean, everyone's dead, but Cleo,
Right. I mean, it could be that, I mean, Holt is the first person to see her when she's dead.
Yeah.
So it could be something that's like, this is pure speculation, but like something she has on her or inside of her that then he then took because he had her dead body.
Mm-hmm.
That's
which
just,
doesn't matter though, right? Like, why is that important? If he took anything he took, he's dead now.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that would be the way that the being it the would heir transfer, would pass.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, instead of it doesn't matter now, because he is dead, but.
And the comeback of the Waverly, I'm going to squeeze your head and kill you.
Same, bitch.
Yeah.
I say that. That's one of those quotes that I like to say in real life. I've adapted that. Like,
I was
same,
sitting
bitch.
There like, is this shotgun? Can she shoot her? Like, is this going to, you know, like when, because she's got the shotgun up and Ma'am's not really flinching at all. And, you know, Waverly, too, isn't really going to shoot her because she's the best and she's too nice. But I'm sitting there like, what's going to happen? Is she going to freaking shoot her? Does she have powers where it's not going to do anything? And then she pulls the gun away and then we get super hands. But
yeah, super hands,
which that just sparked the thought in my head again. Now that part of the Clantons are gone, because we still have Cleo, obviously, and Billy is around.
He's a Reaper,
though.
Yeah, he's a Reaper. So he's not gone yet. Like, are we going to ever dive more into Waverly and her powers and her backstory and Eden and all that stuff, or is it just like a thing? Is it just a set piece?
I mean, we asked, look at Kathleen's face. We asked in the end of last season in our theories, we're like, will we see an angel Waverly?
Right.
What do you think now? It's been
I don't see a path unless Eve's making an appearance in the next three episodes.
It's weird because so far this season, after Eden has been pushed away, this season seems like we thought there's going to be more seasons. Like, it doesn't seem like a final season kind of deal to me, like where there's a big, big, like series ending bad they got to deal with. Like, if Cleo is the series ending bad, I don't know. Like, I have a hope that we're still going to do something with Eden. Yeah. And if so, maybe she'll be an angel. I don't know
if this is like it's not like a selfish hope for the show and what's going to happen for the end of the season, but it's called Wynonna Earp. Like, we have to focus on her in the end. Mm. Like, if Eve comes back and it's all about Waverly, I don't know how much I'm into that. Even though Waverly's the shit, it's just like I feel like backseating Wynonna, the main character, and like and having her have the climactic just ending seems wrong. And I get that it's not like it could have been written for more seasons, but like I really hope that Wynonna gets her freaking moments.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's not all about
agree.
Waverly like the end of last season was.
Were you guys thinking anything about like when Nicole was in the tub and shit and she's dead? Like, I'm just like, hold on to her, Waverly. Use those angel powers. like we know that she's done it before. I guess it was the ring mostly, though, that made her do
her and the ring, right? Like, if she has to have her powers.
I mean, she can still kill with the face thing, but I was like, hold your girl and bring her back, man.
She was trusting Jeremy.
Yeah, she was mad.
And the incantation king.
The king of the incantation.
That was hilarious.
I love the shot at the end of five when Jeremy's looking straight down the lens being like, you have to trust me. Because that was a epic cliffhanger. Wait a week for the next. These didn't air on the same night. Oh. So it was a week later and he's like, you gotta believe me. Like, and I love that scene. I thought that directing was cool because he's like talking to the audience basically. And we're like, fine.
So do they
trust you?
Sorry. Did they switch to the drowning one because they could tell that she's just going to keep screwing up the easier one? Like I think so.
Well, I don't know. I think just Nicole was like, listen, we gotta.
What was the other one? It was the snake stomach. It was the drowning one. And then it was the
something about something turns you into a dog.
Oh, yeah. You could turn into a
demon dog.
Demon dog or something.
She's like, I'm a cat person, which is funny because this is like a behind the scenes thing, but Caporel's like, kills me say that I'm a dog person all the way, but Calamity Jane in the episode. So
I was also just laughing out loud at that scene when Nicole walks in and is like waiting for, you know, trust me, Jeremy, trust me. Shit starts happening. The plot starts moving along. And then the Reaper walks in. And dude, it's like, you just gotta aggressively speed walk around like a pool table and you're good. Like, he's never going to catch you. Yeah. I was just laughing at how slow the Reapers just walk.
It's like Michael Myers. Like,
I had that thought too with the OG one that was chasing Winona. I was like, she's like freaking out, screaming, and her lungs out in the snow. And I'm like, dude, just walk briskly and you're good, man. He's not chasing you.
Uncle Reaper.
I like how they threw in the shots of everyone else's perspective too. So it's just like Waverly running around shorties, running around shorties.
I totally wasn't expecting just like putting him in the basement and putting something in front of the door to stop him.
Like, and when they go down, he's just sitting there like
idling. He is he's solid mass. He's not like fucking Nicole in a disco dress or whatever you want to call that coming out. Well, we didn't even talk about Nicole puking up frogs. Just absolute wacko shit. So, all right, let's talk about it. Nicole made a deal with the Clintons, and that's what got them out of the garden. It did get them out of the garden, right?
So I like that.
It wasn't for nothing. And she made a deal to trade Doc for them. And that's crazy town.
What was the thing that ma'am directly did? Was make the doors pop up?
So, remember it lit up?
Okay, when Doc's like, oh, I reckon it's the one that's lit up.
I'm almost positive they show that scene again and show it, like, just when it comes up later in the season, because obviously that's just not, they're never just not going to talk about it again. Yeah. So I think they reshow it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but that's what it is. So she did get them out of the garden, which is, I mean Nicole was
powerful to be able to do that too, though.
Yeah.
So maybe Cleo will have some big powers.
That doesn't come to light yet, right?
What?
Doc doesn't know that Hot did that.
Doc does not know yet.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, see, I didn't realize until obviously she says it that the point is to bring them Doc. Like, I still thought Winona was the point because obviously Nicole attacks Winona. Like, was she going after Doc? Doc doesn't show up till after. How does that work again? When she, the funny scene when she attacks Winona,
she throws the knife and she's like, what up, Kermit?
What up, Kermit?
Is Doc in the room?
Yeah, they're flirting. They're about to kiss. Oh, no. That was when they're about. There's the beginning scene when they're about to kiss. And she's like, did you eat another fireman? And then they're back in there later. And she's like, I think she's no. What is she, what are they doing? They're in here doing something. I can't remember. They're just chatting.
But the point is that ma'am wants him brought to her alive. So that's why it's OK for her to attack Winona and set the house on fire.
Yeah.
Because Doc wasn't the target. OK.
Were you not thinking about the magicians when anytime she tries to talk about the thing she throws up? It's like the whole beginning of season 4. Anytime they talk about magic, that ringing noise goes and it stops them from
it's
doing
like
anything.
Literally like shit's falling off the ceiling trying to kill them.
Yeah,
I love that. But yeah, I actually really like that Nicole kind of phasing out and her almost letting Doc get like beat outside by Nedley Monster and like all those things where she's kind of zoning out. She doesn't remember what she did until maybe end of 5 or mid 5. As soon as she starts puking up frogs is when she remembers what she did. But before that, she was just kind of zoning out, which I like.
She's in the office, like the police station.
And
she goes, oh, my God, I can't believe. And then she starts throwing up. And like, that's when she knows she did something.
You ate a billion frogs.
And so stupid. They refer to ma'am as the swamp witch, right?
Yes.
So it's like Swamp Witch, Stone Witch. Is there any other ones we know of? That just
Iron Witch.
Yeah, and I loved her too, man.
Iron was the one that created the alternate reality, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the sister, right?
Weren't they both?
Maybe it was Maddie is the Iron Witch and then the sister is the doctor.
Yeah, the sister is the doctor, and I love the Iron Witch, and she was the one who put the salt around.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought it was really funny in the scene in the office when Hot's throwing up for the first time, when she throws up on Winona's boots. Jeremy kind of like has the broom in his hand and looks at her and just starts brooming the yak off her boots. Jeremy's the man.
We could just talk about the sorority sisters.
Yeah, because Doc is so funny there.
I don't remember what the quote is, but I have like all caps, like laughing. And when someone says great story, is there what is that?
It's Winona. He's like, I did run into some sorority sisters at Wesleyan.
Yes.
She's like, oh, great story.
Yeah, yeah. I was really good delivery. So hard at that. That's the second funniest thing that
we
happened.
Might as well dive into that because, okay, so the scorned woman is Rosita. They take it back to the nun. They change the picture. Nicole recognizes it as Steve Gulch because two dumb Steves like got hurt up there or something. So they go there and it's Rosita, which is fucking amazing. Also, yeah. I'm almost positive Rosita's actress was very pregnant during that.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So the behind the scenes is cool because they keep having to throw in stunt doubles during their fight. Mm-hmm. But that whole back and forth was with Doc was and Wynonna was yeah. really funny when she said she hooked up with Creepy Phil's wife. And he's like, I for one would love to hear more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, that red, what is it? Peacoat, whatever yeah. jacket that was just made for her. Yeah. She looked so Agreed. Good in it.
One last thing before we jump into episode 6, I love the little back and forth, of course, between Waverly and Nicole when they're talking about like tying them up with rope and she's wouldn't be the first time. And then, of course, the handcuffs. But I like that Dom in real life, they ripped the bed thing off on the first take by accident.
Really?
Like, the whole bed ripped off when they hulked out. Yeah. Cracking me up.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like,
I like
what
that.
A beast.
That probably felt amazing.
Yeah. Now, the Rosita thing with the rocks, like, is there something I missed there? Is that
Emily was always a part of it?
I don't know.
Wynonna kind of says, like, if when the curse was on, it was stopped them from getting to the whatever the homestead. So now that the curse has been gone, it kind of the purpose of it flipped, which is what it is.
And what I missed was why the nuns wanted her.
She was a woman scorned.
She is literally the woman scorned, I'm pretty sure. Like, in general, she is a big-time woman scorned.
Well, they just wanted them to fight to the death, right? Isn't that why they...
Well, it seemed like the head nun just, like, recruits women who are jaded.
Yeah.
To, like, then be her followers. And Wynonna fits that category, like, T.
Yeah.
And so does Rosita.
Wynonna brings Rosita, and she's pretty much just like, here's the trade. And she's like, all right, fight to the death.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I didn't know like what the specific reason for Rosita was, but I'm good with that, Kyle.
The flirting between Wynonna and Rosita was really funny. Wynonna was just complimenting the shit out of her the entire episode.
Thanks for saving my ass. It'd like, be a shame if I did. Something like
exactly.
We already kind of talked. We already hit all of the Holt stuff in the glory hole. Is that what it's called?
The glory hole.
Yeah.
Because that was a cool That was the cool conversation, I guess, that Holt did have with Doc. And Eamon I feel like Eamon is great at delivering lines every time he's on the screen.
Yep.
He says a couple things there. Yeah. Maester Eamon stuff.
He's a star.
I loved how when they do the women's scorn and they go first with the painting before they go to Rosita, she shows the room to Wynonna and she's trying to summon Peacemaker and she can, it's not working. And then she has that line where it's like, I felt it, but I just couldn't get it to come.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good one-liners in this one. Just in general, I mean, we can finish up the Rosita Wynonna stuff. I wanted to say that I liked when Rosita said 76 down, one to go.
Yeah.
But then some of the nuns were some of Wyatt's things. So she's like, oh, I guess like you're not safe out there from the curse, but in here you are. Like, this is a sanctuary for that. And another reason why it's a fucking douche. I mean, he just killed so many innocents. It just like Rosita was an innocent. I mean, she was fucking someone's boyfriend, I'm pretty sure, or something. Like, I think that's what she said. She was
but you don't deserve to die.
No, absolutely not. And all these people, I mean. So, yeah, I mean, they fought. And I like the line about Rosita being like, why is it always women betraying women? Like, let's fucking go. Come on. And so they make up, which was good. I think they're good. I like when she's like, I don't get along with girls that much, but we could have hung out.
Yeah. I always liked Rosita.
I was perfectly fine with this being an ending for her.
Yeah.
Don't know if it is fully, but it seems like it will be. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
But the last piece of great, great facts we get is that Ma'am Clanton was trying to buy Alice,
right,
which is huge, huge news. And I mean, Wynonna uses that as basically a weapon at the end of that fight on the porch. Mm-hmm. That was a mic drop moment for sure. That was something that obviously Doc didn't know and Wynonna did. And that's like, if you knew that they were trying to buy your baby, I'm sure you would have a little more extra like twitch in that trigger finger as well.
Yeah. I would have to assume that the kids didn't know that,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, it seems almost like Holt got caught in the crossfire of that.
Yeah.
Fuck, I wish he didn't die.
He was great.
I know. Cause let's talk about, so there's the scene in the glory hole, and then Rachel gets caught by Holt because Rachel's snooping around trying to find Billy. And they have a chat about like ancestors and how holding grudges for your ancestor's sake is fucking stupid. But yeah, I like that scene. Rachel didn't really have much to do in these two episodes at all, right, other than trying to find Billy. Yeah. Billy played a bigger role than she did, honestly. But I do love her little snippy lines. I love when she's like, is there a single old around here that can answer a simple question? Because it's true. He was talking like crazy. And she's like, can you just fucking answer
my
question?
All I know is Rachel is safe until she sings on screen. So
yeah,
that's all I freaking know.
Kathleen.
Damn it.
They're not killing Rachel. I'll tell you.
Just like the hair. I'm just spoiling things left and right without even meaning to.
She knows. We hold on to little things when she says it. She regrets it later.
Yep. And then most amazing Holt scene ever is he finds Ma'am and he's like losing it and he's like about to kill Winona, being like, that was you lost your last chance, like that's it. And then Doc is so good to talk him down. That was everything.
So good.
Doc, I mean, he even says it when he gets Rachel and he's like, you're going back to the homestead and I'm gonna go play consigliere. I just love that he used that term. He just and he really does, like, he plays that role the entire two episodes.
Yeah,
he's just trying to now broker this peace between the Clintons and the Earps, and I'm sad for him that it didn't work out the way he wanted it to. I think that obviously his disappointment in Winona, it might be slightly exaggerated, it's just very raw at the moment. But I mean, he is definitely like, I just tried to do, like, maybe not the first time in his life, but probably one of the first times in his life he's tried to go that route to fix a problem and a solution. And he even says, I think at some point to Holt or someone, that Winona, like being around Winona, has taught him that there's more than one way to solve a problem. There's more solutions, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And he tried this route and it just ended so unspectacularly with Winona, of all people, shooting Holt in the back.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
I feel bad for him.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, we see that scene where we're watching Wyatt and Doc says to Winona, you're a coward if you shoot someone in the back. That's from 100-something years ago, and he's still holding, and he still has that opinion. So, of course, if it happens right away, he's going to be super raw with it and be like, what did I just freaking say to you?
Yes.
You know I hate this.
And don't you think that the implications of that scene, of her shooting him in the back, are going to matter more for the Doc and Winona dynamic rather than it mattering for Cleo as the last person of, like, it's like, is she really going to be that much of a threat, or was the bigger purpose for that to sow this doubt and like cause this rift between Doc and Winona? Because now the more I'm thinking about it, it's like, okay, Cleo's going to be pissed that the whole family got murdered, but like, really, like, it's not like she's
more similar
much
to Holt than she is Ma'am.
Yeah,
you know, and I agree with what you're saying 100%. I think it is more to create a rift between Doc and Winona. I think that Cleo's going to be a villain for a little bit to them, but I don't see it. I can't imagine it's the, like, she's the final boss.
Yeah. I mean, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Luke. I just love that you said that, by the way.
She's a funny character. Yeah. But she shouldn't be the last,
right?
The last person that we're kind of trying to take down. I hope she's in the story more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be sad if she wasn't. And I mean, I don't know, I guess some part of the mid-season finale aspect of it makes me worry about that a little bit, because I mean, maybe things will change somewhat drastically in 4B.
Right.
But
Billy the Reaper and Rachel makes me think that there has to be more stuff there.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot left. There's a lot more meat on the bone to Rachel, I feel like. Because like we said, she's not really in these episodes a lot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I hope that she doesn't just kind of stick in this little, because she has gotten less involved as the season has gone on, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I hope that kind of changes a little bit.
The whole scene where Holt finds Rachel it was a fork in the road for Holt's character. It could have been, I'm a man and you saw too much and you're dead, or I'm a good guy and I'm going to take you to the police station, call Doc, and we're going to figure this shit out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was, when I was first seeing it, I literally thought she was just going to be like a hostage for the Earps. You know, I thought he was going to say, all right, you saw too much, now we have you. And that was going to be a part of the plot.
Well, Cleo literally was like, kill her. She saw too much. She knows more than she's letting on, fucking kill her.
So yeah.
I, I will say that there's a scale and Holt's on one end, Mam's on the other.
Yeah.
Cleo ain't all the way on Holt's side.
Yeah, no, but definitely not.
Billy doesn't even really fall. Like, he doesn't want to be a part of it by any means.
Yeah.
My God.
I think when it comes to, like, the Billy stuff, Cleo is more towards Holt's side. Like, she was upset that he was being left outside and obviously becoming a Reaper. And you could tell they both don't really like the way Mam is, but you're right. Like, Cleo's probably, like, edging a little bit closer to her Mam's.
Cleo's very power hungry.
Yeah.
Holt doesn't see him as power hungry.
He says he wants to do the right thing. He said we could do some good shit here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he obviously has that role of being the sheriff, which comes with a decent amount of power, although he's not sheriff anymore, besides the fact that he's dead.
Yeah.
He was not the sheriff when he died.
So great that they just commandeer the whole sheriff's office again, and they keep the bang couch in the corner.
Why are you saying that he's not the sheriff?
He said he's not. Didn't they get kicked out?
She got kicked out. I didn't think he did. I think he was still the sheriff. Like,
as they were kind of just relieved of their positions.
I think that he's still the sheriff, but she got kicked out as the magistrate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I kind of took it more like they're just taking over the area, not like
yes.
Okay, I guess, yeah, when Dolls rolls in, Nedley's still the sheriff.
Dolls. Yeah. Oh, you're really talking
what
about Dolls. I thought you were talking about Jeremy. Are there so much?
No, I'm season one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to talk too much more about Eamon. I feel like we passed that, but I do want to say I've been saying every single time we bring up the pod how much I like when they really show how much of a badass Doc is with the gunslinging and the scene.
Yeah.
It was Holt. Yeah. When him and Holt are talking to each other and he draws.
Woo! That was sweet. Yeah. Dude. Because Holt had the advantage. He was going to pull it at some time in that conversation. And Doc's just like right there. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
I even like when Winona's like, I outdrew you. And he's like, I did not draw at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, honestly, no, I have never been outdrawn. Yeah. But wait, okay. Let's not get off the Holt stuff because Winona killed a human being. You didn't hear the on the gun. The gun acted as a real human gun, shot him in the motherfucking back. Waverly also killed a human. I would say if somebody, just because Winona's the heir and somebody killed her, I would still say they killed a human.
She obviously has
power. Yeah, okay. But yeah, true. You're right. But either way, Winona, when Holt was like, you killed my mom. Why? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Holt's
so I'm goofy. Sorry.
She's like, oh. Yeah, Holt's more like innocent. Like, I have my back to you and I was going to be on your side. You just shot me.
Yeah.
You know, the mom.
Yeah, man, fuck the mom. You know, fuck man.
What's actually sad thinking about that? Like,
yeah.
Holt dying like that.
Well,
like,
it's also, I can talk as my mindset back in the day and say, I was shook. I was like, could not wait to read articles, to listen to podcasts, to be like, what are people thinking? I'm so disappointed in Winona right now. Like, it's the first time I'd ever been sad about something Winona did. I mean, she fucks up a lot, but I always forgive her. And like in the moment, I'm like, it's fine. She's just our flawed girl. She's my girl. But this sucks that you don't just kill someone. You don't. That's crazy.
And I mean, the line afterwards when she just looks at Doc very coldly and is like, thanks for distracting him. I was like, damn. She wasn't even shook about it.
Yeah, no remorse.
Yeah.
I have questionable morals, and even I was a little weird out by that. And I could separate it a little bit from the act of Winona doing something like that and it being to Holt, because I'm more sad when I'm looking at it from like Holt dying and like how he died and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's definitely bad, but it pisses me off how Doc reacted.
Yeah.
Because if I can get into this right now, I'll do it real quick.
Porch scene.
Because Doc is just completely lucky that the fireman he decided to just kill in cold blood turned out to be an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was another fireman, he just did the same thing, except probably way worse, because that was like a good human being that was like a firefighter. So I just absolutely hate how, because the only reason I'll take back this I hate it opinion, if he doesn't go so far against Winona that they literally have a problem where they're not going to be on the same side going forward. Like, it'll be a hindsight thing where I can reanalyze after I see what this causes Doc to do. But as of right now, I feel like the path we're going towards is going to be like full on where Doc's not like going to trust her anymore. He's not going to let her just go around, do whatever she wants, even though she should be able to, she's done enough. I don't know. I'm so curious how it's going to play out, but I'm not optimistic about how I'm going to react to that storyline.
I don't know. I think Doc, as a vampire, doing that is slightly different than Winona just shooting Holt in the back. I mean, Doc almost pretty much couldn't control himself.
Yeah.
He has a not a disease. I mean, it's pretty much a disease. He has a corruption of his soul almost, where he needs to do that or he's going to die. Winona kind of just did that because she was upset emotionally. I just also think that Doc is just, it's a combination, I think, of just disappointment. And I think he's also a little bit upset at himself because he's been trying these two episodes.
Yeah.
Because they've had multiple conversations. Mm-hmm. And he even says to her, I mean, I wrote it down because I like the line a lot. This is right before Hawk comes in and starts throwing the knives and shit. When he says, like, I've often been left to ponder, Winona, whether or not this legacy of bloodshed will be the ruin of everyone we love. Perhaps we should take our cue from an ironically named bunt line. And like that's his whole mindset right now, is that like he's really realizing that like all of this shit that they do is not good for them either.
Yeah.
So now he sees Winona do this, and that's basically right there. Like, this legacy of bloodshed will be the ruin of everyone we love. Like, he is seeing Winona go down this path that he doesn't want her to go down.
Most of Doc's lines sound like poetry when he says them.
Yeah.
I mean, what, so well written, and out of Tim Rozon's mouth. Excellent. Mm-hmm. I specifically love that line as well.
I think when it comes to Doc's personality and his morals as like a gunslinger, Old West kind of guy, is like, even if it was Mam or Bobo or someone that they were actively against, or Bolshar, he would be like, you don't shoot him in the back. You look him in the eyes and you take him down. You know, like, he would say, now that wouldn't be necessarily like, I'm so disappointed in you, you shouldn't have done that. It would be like, I just think that if you're going to fight someone, you look them in the eyes and you do it. Like, I wouldn't be like, he wouldn't be happy if, you know, Bolshar turned around and Winona shot him. She thinks, you know, but I just think, like, going back to what you said, Kyle, the whole thing where he put so much effort into it, it was working. You know, Holt isn't technically a villain. You know, he was changing his mind and they were going to work it out.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's definitely a lot him thinking of it on himself too, you know.
And granted, Winona's not privy to those conversations and that information, but do think it's a lot of it has to do with Doc just almost feeling like pretty much feeling like he failed.
And and if you put it yourself in Winona's head, and I think this is going to get more towards Luke's opinion, it's kind of like, you know, if you're Winona and you're just like, the clans are the freaking enemy, and I'm just trying to make some goddamn peace in my life. Yeah. I'm going to shoot all of them and just be done with it, because that's what she does. Like, so you just once turned around, let's just get them out of here. Like,
and she's fresh off of, I mean, she drove there because she found out that Waverly. They marked Waverly.
Yeah,
you know, she's obviously the blood's hot.
Yeah.
And Alice reveal, which is huge too.
So here's what I'm going to say. I back up Luke when he says the Charlie thing. He also attacked Robin. Think about the other humans he killed. Him and Kate killed those two humans in the basement of Shorty's. Like, he's been killing humans, and I get that he's a vampire. I still think it's very hypocritical of him, but here's what I'll say. The porch scene is one of my favorite of the series. I think it's fucking insanely amazing acting. But I like Doc makes a good point. Well, I won't say he makes a good point. I'll say Doc is changing, and Winona says, I like you because you're not perfect. You're all busted up inside like me. And he said, I don't want to be busted up inside anymore. And it's like the whole two episodes, Doc's like, whatever happened in the past is done. I was the king of the douchebags, whatever the fuck he says, like of the
drunk assholes.
The drunk assholes. The crowd, he's, and he knows that, but he's like, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and I'm going to move forward. And then Winona does this thing where it's like, that is not part of my code of conduct anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's brutal. I mean, I love the part about, do you ever wonder why the clans never turn revenants? Because I had to shoot them all. Like, that's why the clans like hate me. I fucking killed them all, you know?
Yeah.
That scene moving into the proposal and like the juxtaposition of the happiness of Winona and Nicole, and then them looking at each other from across the room, is gut-wrenching.
And it's a major combination of her crying so hard because of Waverly, but also because she's falling apart with Doc.
Yeah.
Like, all in one.
He's the love of her life. Yeah. No matter how much they cannot get their shit together.
Yeah. I also think that
he's the love of my life. Yeah.
I also think in terms of like him being a hypocrite, he is kind of holding Winona to a higher standard than he held himself to. He wants, he doesn't want Winona to be like, you know, to think.
Kyle's calling people hypocrites left and right. Last episode, it was Winona was a hypocrite.
Remember, why was she a hypocrite last?
What was it, last season or last episode?
It was definitely last season.
Yeah. No, I'm just messing with you. Yeah.
Which they called Doc a hypocrite.
Yeah, I called Doc a hypocrite. Yeah, but
thought you were saying you called him that.
Well, I mean, they called him at first.
So
Because that matters.
Because that matters.
So I just joined
order
in.
Of operations.
Yeah.
James.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, I just don't think he's worrying about it so much from that, from like the being a hypocrite perspective, because I, like you said, he knows that he's done horrible things in the past.
Yeah.
He's looking at it from like Winona, like, it's hard to come back from this kind of stuff. Like, this is almost too much.
Right. And like Kathleen said, we have to wonder what Winona's actual, now that the blood's going to stop boiling, what her actual reaction to killing an actual person, not a revenant, is going to be, or a demon. I mean, it could be, if we're saying there's a riff, it could just be that she still sticks to her guns and doesn't care. And Doc is saying, I do care. And then it'll just stay between them like that.
I hope it just doesn't like start like mentally affecting Winona in a way that she's just like start drinking a lot more and is like meaner to the squad, like including Jeremy Waverly, like people like that.
Because it just it. You're so protective of Jeremy Waverly.
It just doesn't make any sense that she would. She should only react to how Doc is reacting to this.
Yeah,
I don't think this should affect her at all. Right. Like, other than that.
Yeah,
because like in her mind, like, it was an Alice shot. It was a save Waverly shot. And I'm like, if she's going to take it like that, it shouldn't change her. She's done so much shit this season.
Yeah.
This,
and it was nice, like, to the squad where like Doc and Winona are having that big moment and Doc's like, I need to get out of here. Like, this is awful.
Mm-hmm.
But they ask him to come in. He's like, I'll come in. Like, cause he knows it's going to be a big deal to the squad. And he sits there with the hat on his heart when
was awesome.
Fuck me up.
You know, he's the man, dude. He's the man. Mm-hmm.
Jeremy is just cracking me up in the scene, being drunk and
so drunk.
And Rachel's just trying to drink, and he's like, nope, just dodging her. There's a gif that people use a lot, trying to like say like two different emotions, where Rachel's like doing a little dance and Winona's just sobbing with a shot in her hand all in one shot. And it's like a genius shot, and people gif that all the time. It's like, Winona Earp gets picked up for season 4 and canceled.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's really good.
I also like Nedley just slugging a brew.
Yeah, man.
Just chuckling at drunk Jeremy.
It's funny because I think it was pretty early on, Kathleen. It might even been when you talked to them during Pitchtown for the pilot.
I forgot you weren't on Pitchtown.
Yeah, I know. That's what got me watching, because I listened. I mean, not to like hype up our own pod, but I was so excited to finally be able to just watch a pilot and not have listened to the pod and then listen after and be like, this is cool. This is fun. But you do say, like, remember, Nedley wasn't the best in the beginning. And you're like, you're going to like him.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since we liked him. But he's the man.
They keep cutting to him cleaning up stuff from the softball team, causing wreckage in the bar.
That was so random.
Yeah.
I'm really going to talk to that softball team.
But, I mean, we get out on a good note with the proposal. I thought that was so sweet. That's like, I love that song. I think the artist's name is Desiree Dawson. She's amazing. I fucking love that song. And you know me, I watched that scene 8,000 times. I love the fire behind them and the like glisten and Waverly and Nicole's eyes crying. It's it's a beautiful shot. And there's so many different emotions happening, like excitement and love and like disappointment and pure sadness. It's so
to
good.
Me, that's got the making of like the final episode of this season. It's just going to be the wedding or the something wedding. Like, it could end on that. Yeah.
That would be a really good finale if it definitely doesn't come back, you know? Yeah. If we're going to talk theories here, I just want to ask the Rooks. We're getting back into this whole thing with Doc and Wyatt. Don't you feel like at this point now, Wyatt, we were talking about how Wyatt might be done. I think you were saying that, Kyle. I feel like now he can't be done because of this rift that's coming up where, you know, Wyatt's talking shit on Doc, saying, you know, what he said about Doc. And now it's going to be almost like an internal battle with Doc. I feel like we are going to find out more about Wyatt. Maybe he wasn't the best person. I mean, do you guys think that that's all we're going to get on that? Or
we could get more, but also it could just serve the sole purpose of making Doc reflect on himself. And then also adding to that whole Winona and whatever's going to happen with him, her and Doc.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, what else are we going to do? Get another movie? Like, how will we see it?
I mean, Doc could maybe be holding stuff back from Winona that he actually knows about Wyatt and like let it rip at one point. But I mean, not that it should offend her that much because it's someone that lived a long time ago.
Yeah,
but
true. It's not like she cared that her dad was a piece of shit either. Points.
I mean, the angel still chose Wyatt to be the protector or to be the heir.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, like, Winona's not.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
saint,
that's so funny because I was thinking of me saying that point, and I was like, playing devil's advocate in my head before even saying it. I was like, I know someone's going to freaking say that.
I mean, yeah, she's not some saint dressed in white.
I guess they didn't pick Wyatt to go fight Bullshar for the reason. Yeah, for any other reason besides like he was the sheriff, right?
Yeah, where did he fucking get the job done?
Wynonna's chosen because she's just the heir.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the angels chose her. She just became the heir. Like, just like Willow wasn't great. Mm-hmm. And she was supposedly the heir. But why it was specifically chosen, I didn't realize it was just because he was the sheriff at the time. I thought they had to like choose him.
I don't think they got too deep into it.
Yeah.
They talk about it's JC and oh my God, what is Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie.
Or and whatever.
Julian. And they mentioned, like, don't they say, well, Nick, because Wyatt's not the sheriff, because Bullshar is the sheriff.
Does Wyatt become the sheriff after he
Bullshar disappears? They definitely have deputy stars. Like, that's something that Doc says in this episode. He's like, the only difference between us and them is that I was wearing the star on our chest.
Yeah.
I don't know that he was I think they're deputies, not sheriff.
Yeah, because he was
a
sheriff
deputy
Clooney.
Under sheriff.
Why not?
Deputy under Bullshar in the star. That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Well, but, no.
I just took it as they just knew why it was a guy who could get shit done.
Yeah.
And they just needed someone to get shit done with Bullshar.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine with me.
Yeah. But honestly, Wyatt's role in this show being mostly as like a reflection point on everything that we've been through and like learning more about ourselves and how, you know, this fight we've been fighting has taken its toll on us. Mm-hmm. It's not something I would have expected in season one.
Right.
Like, we've been like clamoring for like flashbacks and like mm-hmm. actual Wyatt scenes. Mm-hmm. But I actually kind of like it. I feel like that's an interesting role for him to play. I think it's very meaningful. It's nice that it ties in kind of towards the end of the series. It's just not what I thought was going to happen.
Right.
But the more I think about it, the more I kind of like it.
Fine with me.
Well put.
I mean, we're not going to do more Bullshar stuff. I would be fine not doing more Wyatt stuff.
Yeah. I honestly think we're kind of past it.
Yeah.
In terms of like reflecting on his specific actions and more kind of looking at what that kind of stuff will make, or rather how he turned out after he did all that stuff, and kind of almost comparing it to how we're going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying we, because I'm part of the squad.
Yeah.
After all that we've been through,
we're all part of the squad.
Yeah.
Now,
I guess drawing that kind of comparison is almost the best we could hope for with Wyatt, now that I think about it, because they do kind of draw the comparison between Wynonna and Wyatt a lot, and that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
If I have two quick questions just to see what you guys are thinking, if there's any chance that this is going to matter at all, but like, do you think we're just completely done with Wynonna's real mom? Is that a behind the scenes like production kind of thing? Then we're probably not going to get that.
I thought you told us that she was coming back, Kathleen. I'm pretty sure
you said that you thought she told us. I
never said that.
Yeah,
in season three, I said, is there a reason why they took her off like that? Remember,
and we had that conversation, and didn't they all love her actor or something like
yeah,
that?
You said she's a big singer.
No, that's Jan Arden who plays Bunny.
You said Bunny's coming back.
Bunny's coming back, baby. that's the truth.
So, yeah.
That's a bit.
I don't know, man. I feel like she should come back.
I feel like Mama should be at the wedding.
Yeah, Mama should be
that's
at the wedding.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have any like follow-ups. I was just curious because like we were talking about Julian again. I was thinking that was her whole storyline.
Yeah.
She just kind of left looking for him.
Because when I asked that question, you two were, and it's the truth, were just like, she can't be around while Charlie's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I only brought it up because the Dolls thing was kind of behind the scenes. Dolls wanted to leave the actor. And I wanted to know if that was a similar thing. And I thought Kathleen said, we'll have to check the tape.
Don't put words in my mouth, James.
We'll have to check the tape.
I edit them, and I never.
Oh no! But no,
she edited it out.
Yeah.
She edited it out. That's what that means.
I think that we'll see her again. I do.
Okay. And then another thing I wanted to bring up, which I think I've already brought up a couple times, like in this season, but it's just like my least favorite plot point of the show. One of them, I guess I should say, because I just hate like that Jeremy's powers don't like whatever that is, and it never really plays a part. And it's not important. Like, is that a thing that's going to ever be important?
Jeremy should have felt the astral projection in his plums.
Yes. He also should have, like, is it the emotions he can feel, right?
They did such a shitty job.
The way Icon is empathy in his balls.
I guess maybe he was, like, a little too drunk in the moment. But, like, how could he not feel Wynonna and Doc just burning each other's eyelids?
Yeah,
I'm staring at each other.
I was joking about the astral trajectory
projection,
saying like,
but that like, as well.
Yeah, that as well. But I'm saying like, when they can't figure out if she's which frog she is, I was like, his plum should tell
that would have been a perfect reason to make it work. Like, what is the point of his powers? He should have just, they should have just not included that.
I like it still. And although also
why though?
The Morse code is so funny how everyone in every TV show for plot knows Morse code.
I could never,
but I do buy that Jeremy and Waverly would know it out of anybody.
Well,
because
Jeremy should Black Badge. Like, he should.
Waverly studies ancient cultures and languages. So that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if Dawes was around, he would know it in 2 seconds.
Yes, agreed.
Two quotes that I love that we kind of I didn't get to say in the moment. Well, one of them was the scene that Kyle kept laughing at that you said was your favorite scene, right? That's when Nicole throws the knife, right?
Yeah.
I think Wynonna looks at Waverly. She's like, "Look away, baby girl, because gingers are bleeders." Yeah, she just fucking punches her right in the face.
And she does bleed afterwards. Yeah. She does have a little bit of a nosebleed.
Well, that's what triggers Doc, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
And then the other one, I don't even remember I'm so pissed I didn't write the full thing down.
I might know it.
But like the context of it was when Doc and Wynonna, it's the beginning of episode 6. So like after the Rosita reveal, I think they're having a sidebar, like right in front of Rosita. And like, she's saying like, "I guess we got to listen to whatever Rosita says."
Fucking funny. That's what I thought you were talking about when you with the sorority thing and she was like, "Oh, good story." That's the quote I thought you were talking about, the Rosita.
I thought it was funny how like, it's so obvious Wynonna is just like bullshitting because she needs Rosita, and Doc, now we're talking about his character change, was like, "We forgive you." And she's like, "You were under the bridge, whatever."
Well, pinky promise. Yeah. Like, and she smacks Doc's hand away. She's like, "What are you, 5 or whatever?"
And then she does it.
Yeah, literally. It's good. I mean, they have that, even that, like, yeah, like she's like, "You know how much pain I could take," or like, "My pain tolerance is high." Doc's like, like, it's so good. But that's kind of another reason, like, take the love thing out of it. Like, when Wynonna and Doc are fighting, you don't get those good goofy comedy scenes, you know, because that's the fallout. I mean, I wish they would just be in love already. Fucking kids.
I'd probably
kids.
Say that we get serious Wynonna way more just in Doc scenes than we do with bad guy scenes.
Oh, my God. 100%. Yeah.
You think we're going to have a double marriage?
Whoa, maybe. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
I married both
Waverly and Nicole.
Yeah.
Okay. I can officiate that. I'm an ordained minister.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, Universal Life Church.
Love that.
I think my 8-year anniversary was this
year. God bless.
Who'd you marry?
How long does that last?
No one.
Oh, you just got it just in case you need it?
Yeah, I just have it in my back pocket.
Heard that.
How long does it last?
I think forever. I mean, I believe the Lord has blessed me for the rest of my life. Yeah.
I'm going to just say a quick little thing that I have my headphones plugged into my laptop, not even.
So you can't even hear? You can't even hear?
No, I can't hear anything.
We said that earlier. That's why I was like, I said, "Pull your headphones off," and no sound came. And Kyle's like, "It's plugged into her laptop."
I did not notice.
You've had him on. Oh, that's so funny.
I'm dumb as rocks. I just heard something go off on my laptop, and I was like,
"Oh my God." All right, let's take
it
home.
What the hell?
Yeah, we're
one last quote. I can't let us leave without saying.
Say it.
Drunk Jeremy. And they're celebrating the engagement. And he's like, "Oh, my God, like, I'm going to be in the wedding party." And he's like, "Oh, no, I take it back. I don't want to presume." I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, he also calls them Nick Haverly.
Yeah, he does.
Way hot in season 2 or 3. I can't remember. Yeah. He changed it to Nick Haverly in this one, which is funny. But
also, his sweater game was on point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see the guns.
I mean, I still even think in that sweater, he looks a little...
Yeah, but I want to see the actual guns. Like, give me a short sleeve shirt.
He literally drowned hot.
Yeah, when he... That's the scene.
He held her down, dude.
Yeah, that is the scene. We don't have to get into it, but Nicole projecting into Billy was kind of cool, like being able to spit that out. That. And Billy can talk.
Yeah.
Which the other...
Only to Waverly.
I mean, in my brain, it's like Billy was just changed over. I think the other scary men are...
like the dude, like the bald, his hair is like falling out and like, you know.
Like, All right. Is that it? Yeah. All right. Episodes 5 and 6 in the books. That was a really good one. I love doing these with you guys. Like, my dream come true. Yes, if you like what you heard, give us a follow on Binchdown TV, Instagram, and Twitter. Shout us out with any, even though this is already out, if you're following along, give us some theories, critique us, whatever you want. Shoot us an email on any of the shows we do. We love it. We love the feedback.
All right. We just want to thank all of our Patreon supporters. If you aren't a supporter of the pod and you want to throw a little support our way, you can check us out at patreon.com/BingeTownTV. We have 2 tiers, Binge Townie and Binge Town Homie. The first tier is if you just want to throw a little support our way, it's $1 or $2 a month. Our other tier, Bingetown Homie, is all the exclusive content, our exclusive podcast episodes, celebrity interviews, uncut video celebrity interviews. It's all there, guys. We appreciate all your support.
We are Bingetown TV.
And thank you
and
so
make
much
your peace
for listening. That's awful.
What up, Kermit?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.